Welcome to the City Confessions. I'm Marianne Yip, a native New Yorker, and I'm here to discuss all the thoughts that go through the minds of people living in New York City. Since I'm a native who was born and raised in the city that never sleeps, I come across people who are constantly in a rush. I would like to take a moment to sit down and talk about what's on their minds and what keeps them up at night. So sit back and let's dive into these confessions of people I know and people I just met. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to this week's episode of the City Confessions. Today's guest is Alyssa Bryloff. She is a spiritual socialpreneur and content creator. She's also a Reiki healer, and she works with the chakra system to help rebalance energy and unearth people's purpose. So hi, Alyssa, how are you? And welcome.
Hi, I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
We were talking off air, as if this is like a real show, but we've had opportunities to meet in the past, but it just never worked out. But here we are, and that's the beauty of, I guess, social media and just the universe. So before we begin, why don't you introduce yourself to my listeners, tell us who you are, and I'm curious to know what the term socialpreneur is to you.
So I'm Alyssa, and thank you for the introduction. So I have been working in the spiritual and wellness space for basically like all of my life, I feel. So it's always been part of what I do and just my ethos, but really bringing it into business has been part of what I call soulpreneurship, because it's really putting the soul into my work. It's doing things that have an impact and that are helping others. They're giving back and helping people to really, like you said, find alignment and find their purpose is my main goal and mission here. And I do that through social media, through my platform, as an expression of, you know, sharing my story, my voice, and hoping to inspire others along the way.
I love that, because I'm personally, or I like to consider myself to be a spiritual person. I don't know if you can see, but this like little ladder, I have like my crystals, my little Buddha, my tarot card reading and all of it. So I'm really into it. And I'm curious to know also, do you think over the past few years, it's become a buzzword and just trending? Because I feel like it has. And I think in the past, when I was getting into it, people made fun of me for it and thought I was like weird. So what was that journey like for you?
I call myself a closeted spiritual person past, because I used to hide my spirituality, same as you. I used to water myself down and, you know, just feel judgment from others, and was kind of scared to show all of what I do and what I believe in. And it was just doing a disservice to myself and my purpose and to others, because, I mean, we're all spiritual beings. We're all on a spiritual journey, even though we have unique situations, unique journeys, you know, we're all spiritual just by being here. Mm-hmm. And I think everyone can have a different way of looking at spirituality, but I definitely think it's become more mainstream thanks to like TikTok and people mm-hmm. just using words such as manifestation, mm-hmm. And using things like crystals. And I think social media has kind of normalized it a little bit more, which has been really nice to see. And it's allowed me to feel more safe, I guess, using it on my platform. But yeah, I think it's becoming such a well-known topic. But I think it's individualized, and you can't just look at social media. You have to look at internally, like, what does it mean for you?
Absolutely. So tell me about that first moment when you discovered this world, or like, how did you sit, like, cause it's a journey, like you said, right? It's a spiritual journey. So what was that first introduction? What did that look like?
So my introduction is a little unique. My grandmother was a very spiritual person. She still is. She is what brought me on this path. And I was actually interviewing her last night, because I'm going to be on some TV show channel, and I wanted to hear more of her background so I could talk to her journey too. But she essentially discovered a group that she wanted to become a part of, where she was learning more about spirituality and her purpose and just feeling a connection to herself. And through that, she learned what Reiki was, and she was going through a lot of pain and discomfort and a chronic illness. So Reiki was used on her and it helped her pain. And so she started to introduce it to me when I was 8. And there was actually a program that helped teach, you know, young children. It was a healing group for children specifically. Wow. That brought them in. Yeah. That brought them into this world. So I was really young, and I have like little memories of it here and there, like being surrounded by people and receiving Reiki. But when I was that age, it wasn't something that I realized would impact me to the extent it has today. I think, you know, with the journey, it has to come at the right time. So although I grew up this way and it just kind of felt normal going crystal shopping and like getting my chakras reattuned, like literally throughout college and high school, and that just felt normal to me. Like I just thought that that's what people did. And I started realizing, okay, people aren't doing this. It's kind of weird. And I just kind of was like, all right, maybe I'll just, like I said, I watered myself down a little bit. I didn't really talk about it as much, but I would say it came to the forefront more when I went through more of an awakening. My grandfather had passed. This was about like 4 years ago at this point, and he was like my person. So I felt like I really lost this identity and this piece of me that was, I was so connected to, because I talked to him about everything. And I was looking for meaning. I was looking for purpose of, you know, is he around? Is he still connected with me? I just felt really like disconnected from the universe and my purpose with work. And I was going through kind of this weird life altering, like just circumstances. And so I just kind of turned to the universe, and it was the first time I really had done this. But I knew I had these tools in the back of my pocket that I grew up learning, and they got me through things in the past. And I kind of just leaned on them of how can I lean into this now and trust the universe and ask for signs. So I would ask for ways that the universe would show me my grandpa was part of my life and on this journey with me. And his name was JJ. So I have his initials JJ on my wrist. And so I started seeing JJ everywhere, like on street signs and on trucks. And like, yeah, I guess it's a common word, but like, to me, it was like, I needed that. I needed that comfort knowing that he was sending me these signs that I was okay. And from there, I feel like that kind of led me on this path of discovering more about myself and learning more about astrology and human design and gene keys and just different modalities and tools that help us to unearth these gems that are within us that, you know, are so unique to us. We all have different energetic makeups and different signs and, you know, things that mean something to us. So that was kind of a conduit to my journey of, I want to learn as much about myself as I can so that I can live in alignment with the universe, with myself, with my purpose. And I started seeing angel number signs, and that was kind of like the beginning of this journey of just communicating with the universe and co-creating.
I'm smiling because I think it's so beautiful. And I agree. I think everybody can be spiritual, and everybody does have superpowers, right? It's just about tapping into it. And I know, of course, for those who are totally against this or think it's crazy, they're not going to give it an opportunity to even be open to this world, right?
Yeah.
So I love that. And I think signs are so, so important, because I feel the same way. I'll see like certain numbers, like for all of last year, I just kept saying 2-2-2. Like I would wake up in the middle of the night to go pee, and my microwave would be like 2-2-2. Like every time. And I was like, oh my God, this is not just, people could say it's a coincidence, but if it's every single day and it's repetitive, I think it's more than a coincidence. So let's bring it back to New York City, since my podcast is The City Confessions. Did you grow up here? What is your relationship? Tell me about you and New York.
So I actually grew up in Pennsylvania, in a town outside of Philly. And I always loved New York. I loved theater and going to shows with my mom and just coming to visit. So I think my bat mitzvah theme actually was Liss in the City, because I loved New
York. Love that.
Yeah, but I never, to be honest, like when I was in college and thinking about graduating, I never thought I would live here, just because I was a kind of a homebody and liked being close to my family and wanted to be close to my boyfriend, who's now my husband, and like he didn't have plans to move there. So I was kind of like not really anticipating moving here until I got a job offer that was just so cool, and I was like, I have to just take it and see where this leads me. And I'm really glad I did. I've been I'm now in Jersey City. So I've moved out since the pandemic, which, you know, is so close to Manhattan. I come in like once or twice a week. It's still very part of my life, but I would say I love the city. And I think a big fear or thing that I had, especially during the pandemic and like not being in it, because I lived at my mom's during the pandemic, I felt like this identity to it where my identity was tied to it. And I felt kind of like my worth was tied to saying I'm a New Yorker and I live there. And I felt like what would happen if I removed this identity? What would that mean for my career? What would that mean for my brand? And that was something I had to kind of go through of, you know, very egoic peeling of, you know, it's an attachment and you don't really need to be attached to something to be worthy of something or to, you know, feel that you're meant to do something. So as soon as I kind of like learned to detach from the identity of being in New York, although I'm still very close, I think that helped me to just find more about like myself, knowing that I have everything within and like a city isn't going to determine that or any external thing won't determine what I do. And so I still love New York and have such a connection to it. And I think I always will, but I think removing that attachment to it helped me. And also being, like I mentioned, human design, I'm a reflector. If you've ever talked on the show about it, I'm a very empathetic person and I kind of absorb a lot of energy. So I needed boundaries. And I think moving out allowed me to just have some more boundaries and space, but I still can come in. So it's this nice balance of, you know, working with that energy.
I love that we brought this topic up because I'm a native and I've been like so proud of it. But as I'm getting older and obviously I'm expecting, it's like, I talk about this with my partner. We're both New Yorkers and we don't think New York is going to be like the forever home or just like the ideal place to raise a family, even though we're so grateful for how we were brought up and our childhood. But I'm kind of going through that as well, just because I have such an attachment for and to New York with my podcast, my blog, like everything is so New York focused. But I realize exactly what you said, like I physically do not need to be here in order for me to show my love and show my appreciation for the city. But attachment or being attached to certain beliefs and stories and titles and labels is definitely a personal struggle that I'm going through. And I think a lot of people go through that. I think a lot of people attach themselves to their jobs, which is why whenever I have guests come on, I want to know what you do, but I want to get to know like you, Alyssa, as an individual, because you are not, you know, just a content creator. You are not just a Reiki healer. You're so much more than that. So I think it's a powerful message to have for my listeners that you are not your blank, right? So segue into your journey, and this can be professionally or personally, but what has been the biggest challenge, whether it's on your spiritual journey or being a soulpreneur?
So I think, well, I'm just getting out of my Saturn return, which has been, if those who don't know what it is, it's a kind of 2-ish year journey of just learning and growth. And I just turned 30. So I'm kind of in this pivotal moment of, you know, thinking about the future, but also reflecting on where I've been. And I would say career-wise, learning challenge for me was learning to do what lights me up and not tying, again, it comes back to that tying and the attachment, not tying my worth to being busy or, you know, having a certain job title that will make me worthy. So for a long time, like I was in the corporate world, I was in startups, I was, you know, working for other people and it didn't feel necessarily always aligned, but I always felt like I had to climb this ladder to be successful. And I always kind of tied that success to, like you said, the job title. And it wasn't really until I started realizing that it wasn't in alignment and I went into a different direction of consulting that allowed me to realize, okay, I can still work with brands in this capacity and I can help brands and I can do these things I love, but I don't have to do, I can do it more on my time frame and have more flexibility and freedom with my schedule. I would say the pandemic kind of changed things a little bit for me in the sense that I was kind of grinding and hustling and working with tons of brands and clients at once. And I was burning, you know, the candle from both ends. I was really burnt out And I really wasn't living in alignment, even though I was living this freedom lifestyle. I was still just stressed and overworked all the time. And so the pandemic allowed me to really like look at what was aligned, look at what I actually wanted to be doing. And that's where I kind of brought more in the spirituality into my work and started leaning more into this path that I had been on. I got reattuned in Reiki about 4 years ago. So it was right before the pandemic. It was really interesting that it happened right before, and it kind of like led me into it during. And so I think the challenge I always come back to is one, like finding abundance within. I know that abundance is part of me, and things that bring me abundance are when I fill myself up and I look at the things that I already have and I look at the gratitude. So I think as an entrepreneur, it can kind of feel really hard that you know, you have to do a million things that, you know, you're doing on your own a lot of the times, and you can ask for help. So for me, like asking for help and giving myself time off and not working too hard, even though I'm my own boss and I could work as many hours as I want, really just like making sure that I'm actually filling my cup up and taking time for myself and coming back to, am I living in alignment? You know, is this true to what I actually want to be doing?
So I've been hearing the word alignment several times throughout you talking. For those who don't know how to get aligned with their inner compass, their you know, I don't know, their, what else, what other terms do you use? Their soul.
Intuition, yeah.
Yeah, intuition, all of that. Mm-hmm. What are some quick tips to help people come back to themselves?
I actually just did a post on this yesterday. I don't know when this is coming out, but I talk about alignment a lot. So I always pick a word of the year, and my word was aligned. And for me, alignment is a lot of different things. Energetically, you know, checking that I'm aligned. So looking at my chakras and just kind of like knowing which ones are out of balance. So if I'm really anxious, knowing that that's my root chakra, and how can I balance that chakra and feel safe again? So like things like that, energetically, I look at. Business, you know, listening to my intuition, does this feel like it's a hell yes, or does it feel like a hell no? And kind of deciphering between the two. And I think you can't really do any of those until you get quiet and you go in and you become aware. Like awareness, I always say, is the first step to alignment, because you actually have to know what's going on. Like maybe that's doing an inventory check of making a list and writing all the things that are draining you and all the things that are lighting you up, and, you know, starting to look at, oh, I'm doing a lot of these things that are actually draining me that I don't want to be doing. Or, you know, maybe you're being distracted by something and you're not really like being present with yourself. So I think coming back into alignment simply means coming back into your body, into the here and now, and focusing on this moment, into this inner compass that you already have. It's just about getting quiet. And I always kind of think of the difference between fear and intuition is fear is very loud. It's what makes you feel anxious, and it's kind of repetitive, versus intuition is very quiet, and you actually have to slow down and go inward in order to hear it. You can't like be walking around with your head off and like not paying attention and like be like, oh, I have an intuitive hit. Like maybe, yeah, you will, but it's very rare. You have to kind of go inward first and become aware of what in your life is depleting you, what is bringing you joy. And I think we all have this purpose here, and we're all meant to be in alignment. We're all meant to live our authentic life and what's true to us, but we have to first become aware of what we actually want so that we can make the changes possible.
I love that you mentioned body, because I feel like personally, sometimes when I'm in a dilemma and I don't know what to do, I just ask myself that, right, in a quiet space. But your body will tell you all the answers. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's like energy being sent through. But if there's something that you say, okay, I want to do X, right, like this route, and your body is like calm and it just feels good in a very weird way, it's like the right answer, even though like logically it might not seem like it.
Right.
And then if you go the other route, something in your body will react to that and almost give you a sign that it's not the right answer. And I know if people hear this, they might sound or seem like, okay, that's weird. But it just goes to show, when you are quiet, all like clarity presents itself when it's needed. And I think going back to New York, that's really hard sometimes, because we are so surrounded by noise and people and people's opinions and just outside, I don't know, factors, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like when you sit quiet, that's when everything becomes clear, but it's also so uncomfortable for some people. And this is just like a challenge, I guess, for people listening or watching. When was the last time you actually sat with your own thoughts? Because you live in your mind, what, every single day, like more than anywhere, even in your present home. So I think it's really, really interesting, but it's also, again, just uncomfortable. But discomfort is also such a beneficial place to tap into.
Like, for sure. I actually read something which really stuck with me, because a lot of the work that I do, especially with Reiki and chakras, I'll explain a little bit about Reiki too, in case people don't know what that is. But with, you know, we're so now this society in our heads and connected with others that we're very much up, you know, above, we're very much in the clouds and like just overly simulated in our minds, and we're not really in our bodies and we're not really grounded. So I think being in the city, of course, like there's not as much nature. So doing things at home that can ground you and bring you back into your body is so important. So whether that's, you know, literally putting your bare feet on the ground, or, you know, just feeling yourself on that ground, rooted to the earth, and taking a few deep breaths, like little things like that can reground you. And I think it's so important. And like you said, it is discomfort and it is challenging, but the more you start to discern between the, you know, the what feels right and what doesn't, you start to build a trust muscle, and that noise becomes louder and you start to be able to trust it more. You just have to work with it. You can't, you know, expect it to come overnight. It's a thing that takes time. And with Reiki, I find this helps me a lot. So Reiki is a form of energy healing that allows you to move energy throughout the body, out of the body, that's anything, you know, blocking or draining you or causing limiting beliefs or physical ailments. So it really does everything. Like, it's such an amazing tool. And so I give it to myself every day to just make sure my energy is balanced and moving things around. And I'll practice it on others who need that support.
I love it. I had one Reiki healing session, 2019, I believe, like right before the pandemic, and it changed my life. Like, the woman who did it afterwards, I gave her a big hug, and the hug was for like 5 minutes. And I was like, you don't understand how much that session meant to
me. What did you feel? I'm so curious.
I felt like I was floating, and I almost felt like I felt warm, and I felt like, because it was on a table, right? It was like on like you know, kind of like a spa setting. And I just felt, like an energy shift. And I was carrying a lot. So when I went into the session, I felt just very heavy and just stressed. And I don't know. It was just like a burden. Like, when you actually say the word burden, that's how I felt. Yeah. And then after the session, I felt like I was floating. It's going to sound weird, but I felt like light. Like, if I could close my eyes, it was almost, I don't know what heaven is like, but it was like beaming on me, you know? And then afterwards, I'm like a new person. And I literally was standing in the hallway and I gave her a hug for 5 minutes. And she really appreciated it, because I think Reiki healers in general, they just know. You don't need to say anything to them. And they just know what they're doing for you. So it's really beautiful. So I encourage people to look into Reiki healing if you're going through something, because it was life-changing for me.
I love that experience.
So what is your morning routine look like?
Oh my God. It's a lot. I do a lot of things. I actually have a guidebook on my website when you sign up for my newsletter that kind of gives some tips for what I call my aligned AM. Going back to that aligned word, because I think it's so important to check in with your energy and make sure that you're taking care of yourself first, even if it's literally 2 minutes. So, you know, it doesn't have to be a drawn out thing. It can be as simple as just getting quiet and maybe breathing for a few minutes, like the first thing you wake up before checking your phone, even if it's literally just 2 minutes, and then start building it from there. Lately, it's been a little bit difficult, I would say. I go through phases where, you know, I fall out of my routine, but I always come back to it in some way, or I'll do something, even if I can't do all the tools. With the holidays, I feel like it can be hard because I'm traveling a lot. I don't have all my things with me. I'm kind of in different environments, but I know that I come back to these for a reason. because they help to ground me and help me to feel aligned. So what I typically do is I'll listen to some type of meditation, whether it be a guided one quickly, if I'm out of time and, you know, don't have a lot of time in the morning, or I'll do more of a longer one that's self-guided. And I'm kind of like I said, using my chakras, or I listen to chakra balancing frequencies, which I put my playlist in there that really helps me. You could just listen throughout the day to just bring your body back into balance. So I think not checking your phone or like trying to check in with your energy first is really key. And then from there, I just like to do things like, you know, moving my body in a way that feels good, whether it's a walk, walking my dog, or some light like Pilates, or just like a at home quickie that I love to do just to like make, again, come back into my body before I give to others. And then there's just like little things I like to do, like tongue scrape or use lemon water, just like things that I feel good. So I think it's about finding things that work for you and that are little moments of joy you can find in your morning to help you feel more aligned and more centered. And it goes back again to that root chakra. It's all these things that I've cultivated that really help you to feel balanced and grounded before you take on the day. It's kind of like I say, flossing, because, you know, you don't really want to floss necessarily, but, you know, if you don't, there's buildup. And that's kind of how I feel about doing these things for yourself, and especially meditation. I feel like if you don't take care of yourself and your mind and your body first, there's going to be this buildup throughout the day. And it's kind of just about coming back to protecting your peace and protecting your energy.
Yes. Like, you have to check in with yourself before you check in with the world. I always say that. And I try to do that as much as possible. Like, I'm not going to lie. There are times when, like you said, you fall off here and there. But you also know that if you create a habit, you can always go back to it as well. And don't be too hard on yourself, because that's how I feel. Like, I meditate every morning, I journal, but I'm not going to sit here and say that I do that every single morning and I never miss, you know, a moment of it. Mm-hmm. Then you go back and you think about how good it feels, just like a workout, right? You never regret a workout that you do.
Yeah.
It's like a workout for your mind and your soul. So I'm here for that. So you were talking about align is your word for this year. Do you have a affirmation that you've been going back to this week, this month, or just something that you really believe in lately?
I actually, somebody told me one. So I actually recently got meditation certified, and it was more about like using it in my Reiki practice. So during the certification, we actually have to, you know, attend more sessions and get trained in it through other people's trainings. And yesterday I did one, and I loved what she said. And it was, may I trust the highest good that's always unraveling. And I think it's coming back to like that intention of trusting yourself and trusting the universe, knowing that you're on the right path and you're right where you're meant to be. It can kind of sometimes feel like with different seasons of life that we're not on the right track, or, you know, we fell off, but you always are right on time. And when you come out of alignment, it's just about becoming aware so you can get back into the track that you want to be in. So I think it's just about, you know, trusting where you're at and trusting the universe.
I love that one. Can you say it one more time?
Yeah, I actually wrote it down. May I trust the highest good is always unraveling.
Okay, I love it. I never heard of that one. I think it's super unique, but I love the messaging. Yeah. So we are winding down, and my podcast is called The City Confessions. And when I have my guests come and share their beautiful story, I like to just end it with asking if you, Alyssa, can share a confession. And this could be anything. It can be surface level. It could be something that's deep, a secret, a fun fact. It's however you are receiving this question. So, Alyssa, if you can share a city confession with us, what would it be?
Sure. So I think it's timely because I'm coming up on my 4-year fireversary is what I like to call it. So I previously mentioned earlier when we were talking that I shifted careers, and it was really because I was fired. And I think it's such a taboo topic to talk about. I think there can be a lot of like just fear around it and feeling not good about yourself. But for me, it was actually the catapult into my journey. So I think for anyone who's going through something that may feel really negative, or that you're not enough, or something's happening to you and you just feel like it's unfair, try to look at it from a different perspective and trust that it's happening for you. and that, you know, it's meant for you. So if you were fired, take that as a sign that you were not meant to be doing that, and you'll find your way.
No, I truly believe everything happens for a reason. Obviously, it's clearer in hindsight, but I've personally have a friend right now. He's going through just like a lot of job searching, and he went through this round, like crazy round of interviews, like four rounds. It's really, really intense. And we both swore that he would get it just because he was so qualified. And then at the end, he didn't get it. And obviously, it's not a good feeling. But I was giving him this whole big spiel about like, your purpose is so much greater than this. Like, they're doing you a favor by saying no to you, because by them giving you a no, there's another yes right around the corner. It's always hard to think about it that way, especially when you're in the moment. And I do want to clarify that I think it's important to honor that failure feeling or whatever that is. Like, don't brush it off, but don't live in that space and that mentality forever. But yeah, I always believe in that. Like, so anything bad happens, I'm like, it's okay. You know,
this rejection equals redirection is what I say. And
yes,
I fully believe that. And I agree with you. I totally harpered on it for a few months. I let myself grieve and feel that process and feel through it. It was really important for me. So, you know, don't know that your emotions are not you, but you can feel your emotions. It's safe for you to feel them and work through them.
Absolutely. Yeah. You never say like, I am stressed. Like, I'm feeling stressed. I'm noticing stress. It's all about like vocabulary and what you tell yourself. So I love that. And then I have a city fire round like game that I play in the end where I ask five questions. They're all related to New York, and you answer it with the first word or phrase that comes to your mind. So are you ready?
Sure, let's go.
Okay. If you can describe New York City in one word, what would it be?
Energetic.
Favorite thing about the city?
The livelihood.
Least favorite thing?
The smell.
What's your go-to spot?
Within, which is my acupuncture space that I work with.
Love that. And if you couldn't thank New York City for one thing, what would it be?
I think growing me.
That's so beautiful. So now it is your chance, Alyssa, to plug away. I'm going to have all of your information in the show notes, but are you working on anything special that you want to reveal for literally the remaining month of this year or 2023?
Yeah, so I actually just launched Angel Number Socks, which are all organic cotton. Yes, you'll have to get a pair. I'll have to send you. They are 111 through 555. And I actually sold out, but I'm coming back with a second drop. And it's all going to be, you know, there are ways to help you to wear that number and to remember that you're connected to the universe. Our feet help us be grounded, and then they connect us to the universe too with these messages. So it's been really fun to work on this and see people tag me in it. So definitely check them out. And I'm going to be launching more things soon. So stay tuned for that.
Yeah. And as you are a spiritual healer, I feel like it's very fitting to ask you one last question before we wrap up. What is your superpower?
I think it's my energy. I think everyone's superpower is their uniqueness and their unique energy, and learning your energy and more about yourself and what makes you unique is your superpower.
Well, thank you so much for chatting with me. I already feel
thank you.
Good. Again, it's like an energy transfer through Zoom, which is exciting.
I love that.
But yeah, this episode is, well, for you personally, it's going live next week. It's very, very timely because we're wrapping up.
Perfect.
Hey, everybody. And I just think this episode was so beautiful because I think when we are heading towards the holidays and the winter blues, people can feel a little down on themselves. And I think it's important to, like we said in this whole episode, come back to ourselves, feeling aligned, feeling powerful, tapping into our higher good and higher self. So that being said, thank you so much for one joining, and for everybody listening, be sure to share this with a friend and stay tuned for next week's episode. All right, bye.
Bye.